This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
While he's gone, I like go and I'm on the couch and I hear vibrating throughout the house. And so I pick up my phone and it's an Amber Alert. I like silence the Amber Alert and I can still hear the vibrating in the house. And I'm like, that's really weird. So I go into our bedroom. I see his Apple Watch, literally pick it up and go to like silence it. And as it's in my hand, I get a text. I'm calling him. He isn't answering. Finally pulls up to the house. He won't come in the house because he just like knows that I know something.
An Amber Alert is scary and jarring no matter what. I mean, there's a reason that vibration is so loud. But how did this one end up exposing her ex-boyfriend? Welcome to season 6, episode 17 of The Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And this week we've got a submission from social media where someone says it was an Amber Alert that led to the end of her relationship. And if you're like, hey, wait, I've got a really crazy breakup story I'd like to tell, or I know somebody with a wild breakup story, or if there's a breakup story you want me to look into, like maybe someone you were always afraid to ask about their breakup, head to the episode description. I take submissions for breakups every single week through that form. Just give me some details. Let me know what went down and you could end up hearing it on the Breakup Breakdown podcast. Wherever the story comes from, we love hearing what went down, but also getting some good lessons along the way. So be sure to check it out in the episode description. And as always, if you want to jump to a certain part of the interview, you can find timestamps in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. Thank you for tuning in. And this week's submission is coming from social media where someone says she got an Amber Alert on her phone that exposed something her boyfriend had been doing their entire relationship. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence shelter around the country just to raise more awareness. And this week we are shouting out Peaceful Paths in Gainesville, Florida. They are a certified domestic violence center that serves survivors of domestic violence in Alachua, Bradford, and Union counties. They have an emergency shelter, a 24-hour helpline, children's programming, so much more. So if you want to check them out, head to the episode description for more details. Okay, so into the actual submission. So what's really crazy about this one is I have actually been in contact with the person that I interviewed this week for literally over a year. It's one of those things where it's like, we'll do an interview next week or next week or next week. And I really do feel, because of the way this story ends, that now is the absolute perfect time to interview her and also put the story out. So this was a submission that I got from TikTok where she said that an Amber Alert led to the end of her relationship and exposed something her boyfriend had been doing all along. And needless to say, it definitely caught my attention.
This past week, an Amber Alert revealed that my boyfriend of a year and a half has been cheating on me. The boyfriend that I was building a life with, picking out rings and shutter colors with. So an Amber Alert went off on my phone. So when this Amber Alert goes off, I go in the bedroom. So I see the Amber Alert is going off on the watch. I go to silence it. I've already tried to call him twice. No answer. Earlier that morning, I had sniffed my pillow because I just felt like something was off. I looked around the room. I felt like things had been moved. I felt like my sink, all my stuff under the sink had been moved. Called me absolutely crazy. So I pick up his Apple Watch. I silence the notification and I immediately get an "I miss you already" text. It is the girl that he has been in a full-on relationship for the past 2 weeks. Granted, my entire life has flashed before my eyes and every gut instinct I've ever had has just been like put in blinding lights. There's so much of the story. I should probably do a part two. Normal people do not do this to other humans.
Obviously, my curiosity has been piqued, and so had hundreds of thousands of other people who had seen that video. And after a year, I think it's about time to find out what went down in the relationship. So without further ado, let's break down this week's breakup.
Yeah, so I met my ex on Hinge, like many of us do, which I think these days some of us see as a red flag in itself. Not that there are that many options to meet people in real life. But we met on Hinge. It was actually April Fool's Day. It's funny now because I guess the joke was on me. We were chatting really briefly on Hinge and he actually gave me like a heads up of a big red flag before we even went out. He was like, hey, by the way, like we're on the way to this date at a restaurant to grab drinks. He's like, I just broke up with my ex in the past like week and she still lives in the house. She's moving out tomorrow. So we'll start the story with the fact that I had a lot of information that this person was probably willing and able to do whatever to not be alone. But I think so many women can relate to the fact that we all think we're different and we all listen to what people say. So when they're like, oh, that was incredibly, you know, unique and I'm like on to bigger and better things. It feels special, but I digress. So yeah, we met on Hinge and quickly went on a date within the next like 24 hours. We went to one of the best first date spots and melted into each other, like immediately formed what I felt like was a really intense chemical bond and had really intense conversations like day one. And I actually already had plans with my friend right after that date. So I leave this date with him. I'm like infatuated, so excited. Go to see my friend, and I literally roll up with my friend and I'm like, that man's gonna wreck me. 'Cause I just like I knew it. I knew how intensely I felt about him on a like pheromone level. I don't know. Have you ever caught vibes from someone where you're like, I just know that you're capable of things, and that almost makes me like more interested in sussing it out.
Capable of what kind of things?
I just felt like he had a way with women, but I also felt capable to manage that. A lot of us are not attracted to the quote unquote nice guy, which is such a like horrible trope, and I wish it wasn't the case, but I felt like he was very suave and very captivating, and I was like, well, so am I.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that comes from a place of, I'm sure, having a really big sense of self-worth and self-confidence. And for that relationship with that kind of guy to work, like, you have to have it. So, I mean, I don't think you're wrong for feeling that you can manage it, but also there's that pattern of, like, guys who are really good with women are good with women because they have a lot of experience because they go through a lot of women.
Yeah, and it makes so much sense now, and especially when we talk about like what ultimately went down and how often he was engaging in those kinds of like first date manipulate and captivate kind of encounters.
Okay, so you have like an incredible first date. What do the next couple of weeks look like? You just fall super hard for each other?
Yeah, so it is like fast and furious immediately. I mean, what was additionally interesting is that everything that felt dangerous, quote unquote, was very much so on the table. So, like the ex situation, her number popping up on the phone all the time. We had values that do not in any sense align. Just straight up, wow, that's wildly different. We don't live in the same universe. And I unfortunately, again, started to experience that really early on. Yep, like day two. We go on this date. Day two, I'm out just bopping around, like having a normal day, getting coffee, going shopping, and I'm with my friends. He FaceTimed me like 5 times that day. I mean, it went from 0 to 100. It went from like, I'm nothing to him to I'm everything to him overnight. And for me, that felt really special. In hindsight, I think that was, I am losing my live-in girlfriend. I need to quickly replace one because I physically cannot be alone. Makes so much sense now. So we're like FaceTiming. I feel like that just means we have a special connection. And I start staying over at his townhome every single night. Can't pull away from it. If I wasn't staying over there, it was like a big conversation. And I mean, we did not know, we didn't technically know each other. I'm quite an open book. I think you probably know that from the internet. As much as you can have those conversations and somebody can look you in the face and say things that you're like, I feel like I'm getting to know the darkest parts of you. You don't know somebody after 36 hours to have that level of ferocity with your feelings. So yeah, it was just constant. But in that constant, again, I was quickly seeing things that I was like, why am I so infatuated when I basically hate that behavior?
No, I totally get that because I feel like everyone can relate to seeing character flaws and feeling like those are fixable. But the one thing that's been hard to find is like that chemical connection and the undeniable attraction. So it's like, this has been really difficult to find. And now that it's here, it's like, oh my gosh, it feels so good to sit in it. And so if we could just like tweak these things that feel malleable, this would just be great. But this is obviously the breakup breakdown. So things are not going to end well. So how long do you guys date total? And then at what point does the breakup start to happen?
Well, I can give you like high level timeline. Within like 2 weeks, the I love yous are on the table, right? Like things are just heating up. We end up dating in entirety for a year and a half. For the next, I would say probably like 6 months, I still see all the character flaws, but I don't have as big of concerns as a like, is he only with me kind of situation. My concerns were really like on a day-to-day basis. I'm asking him like why he talks to other people this way, like why he doesn't like operate with more maturity, or like why he sees the world in a certain way. It's more just like, are we going to be able to spend our lives together? And I think I realized that I didn't like him as a person, but was just very attached in that time frame. So we go throughout like the whole rest of that, and things start getting really bad again, I would say like at the full year mark. And we had a few like big summer breakups the following year that were around, honestly, like random topics, like again around the dog. And then like during one of those breakups, I would find out something really bad about like what he did during the breakup. So for example, in one of those, he took out and hooked up with my best friend's cousin, who was one of my friends. And so it was like every time we would have like this opportunity to fix things and come back together, I would just be like, oh, this is not the things that we're talking about and the experiences that I saw in that like year and a half of dating. It's like the arguments that you would have with somebody that you're dating in a normal basis, like, oh my gosh, I'm so mad that you like were late to dinner or whatever it might be. It was like the most abrasive choices that we're arguing about that came up in that time. So had a big couple of summer breakups, and then ultimately the big final breakup happened after a year and a half of like back and forth toxicity, and things were really bad at the end.
Because you mentioned a couple of like times where you would break up and then get back together. What was bringing you back in? Like, did you just really feel like this was your person to where it was like, okay, whatever we have to work through, we'll work through it?
Yes, I did feel that way because, to your point, I had literally never felt that level of attachment to anyone. And I think in hindsight, and after a lot of therapy, I can say that that was very tactical. And like, it is the classic form of how a narcissist keeps you on the hook and quite literally forms chemical bonds in your brain to high highs and low lows. Like, I can see that now. There was just so much intensity that the second that it was ripped away, it was just like a void of those positive dopamine responses and just going back to seek it again. And I also think there were some security issues there because I was quite secure in the beginning and felt like I could manage and tackle this. And throughout the year and a half of like constantly being exposed to him, like choosing other people, I think I was beaten down and I saw this person as my North Star because also a lot of energy went into this. And like, this is something I try to tell my friends. The thing that you forget is in these toxic relationships, like you're focusing all of your like misfix it energy on one person. And so when you take that out of the mix, it just feels empty and lonely. And we forget that like we've forsaken all those other things that filled up our time. So I think it was just like an attachment and a void, and honestly, like a quite literally an addiction to love. And I'm still trying to work it out, to be totally honest.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes total sense. It makes 100% sense, especially when you think about it on a chemical level. For me, that's the only way for me to understand attachment is to understand that, like, the same things you experience when you're falling for someone is the same things that you would experience if you were, like, doing a line of cocaine. So when you try to, like, pull back from somebody, it's a withdrawal. And so it doesn't make sense to be like, okay, this person's treating you poorly. Why are you staying with them? Your body is literally craving them. It's not that you don't have a choice, but your body thinks this is a good thing. It feels good to be back with them. It's a good thing, so I should get back with them. So a year and a half goes by, the breakup starts to go down. How do we get to the end of this relationship?
I didn't find out about so much until after the breakup. So like when I think about the year and a half, I have to layer on the information that I didn't know at the time and like deconstruct it in hindsight. So it's such a weird experience. Ultimately, what happened, like the big aha moment, was that we were having quite the summer breakup, and we had had this conversation of we're either going to do this or not. We had lived together as well. And so in one of those summer breakups, I had like moved a bunch of my stuff out, and then I had moved a bunch of my stuff back in. And so, like, it is a do or die kind of moment. He was like, if we're gonna do this, you need to tell your mother that we are getting married. My mother, shocker, like hated this man because she had come to Thanksgivings and like met him and had major concerns. I think kind of probably like saw the writing on the wall. And so I do it. I was in, and I call my mom while I'm on a work trip, one of the work trips that I found out he was cheating on me on. And I'm like, Mom, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're just gonna either have to take it or, like, I don't know, disown me, but we're gonna get married. Like, I'm doing this. I'm staying with this man and we're gonna get married. And it basically like ended our relationship at the time with my mother. So I go back to him and I'm like, I did it. Like, I told her, and he's acting like great. Like, now we are all bought in and we can move forward. So I'm like back in the house. We're full steam ahead. Like, leaning back into a semblance of normalcy. But right when everything happened, I kept asking if everything was okay. Like, we would be on walks and I would be like, so this feels weird. This feels different. And he's like, we're starting this again. You have to really give me the energy that you really want this in order for you to get energy that I really want this. And that just felt so like confusing to me because I again hadn't like done anything wrong to spark the last breakup. So things are just feeling very odd. And it is like the week of when I find everything out and I'm starting to notice just like really weird behaviors. So like I would get a phone call and it would be a spam number and he would look at the number on my phone and be like, "Who is that? Your boyfriend from a dating app? Is that a guy that you're like seeing?" I'd be like, "It's Lowe's." And so we're having conversations like that that just feels so out of character. And the day that I ended up finding out about everything, or at least like the first things that I found out, I woke up that morning. He was just like so distant, more distant than he had been in the past week, which was already very distant. And I had actually already offered to give him some space like the weekend prior, because I was like, "I know we're just getting back into things. Like, do we need to take a little bit of space?" And he was like, "If we take space, it's because you want space, not me." And I was like, "Okay, but things feel weird." So, like, I even give him a little bit of space that weekend and we come back together. We're like having a normal night. I wake up the next morning and everything feels just like so off. I start to notice things are moved around the room. And keep in mind, I had only not been there for like a short little brief stint over the weekend. And I'm looking around the room and I'm like, these are half my things. Something is off. I can't like put my finger on it. Something's off. And I go into the bathroom. I'm like getting ready. All my stuff like under my sink is like pushed into the back. And I come out of the bathroom feeling so weird. So I go and I smell my pillow. Like just instinctually, I didn't even like think about it. I just was like, this is so bizarre. I'm gonna go smell my pillow. I go smell my pillow and it like doesn't smell any different, but I'm just like, I'm not losing my mind. This room feels so different. I literally go and I like grab his face and I'm like, "You are being so weird right now." And I'm telling you, I know something is off. So like, why don't you just go in and tell me? He calls me crazy, which is classic. And I'm like, okay, like that's all I can do. So he has to fly out for a work trip later that day. And I thought it was strange that he was insistent on going to beers with one of his guy friends that he also worked with, that he sees every day, like right before this work trip. But I was like, okay, alas, like you don't want to spend time with me. I'll be at home with our dog. So he goes to beers with the boys. While he's gone, I like go to the bathroom and I notice that it smells like cologne. And I'm like, okay, like he does wear cologne. I've never seen him put on cologne before going to like anything with the guys. So that's in the back of my mind, but I just like put it down and I go sit on the couch and I'm on the couch and I hear vibrating throughout the house. And so I like pick up my phone and it's an Amber Alert. I like silence the Amber Alert and I can still hear the vibrating in the house. And I'm like, that's really weird. So I go into our bedroom. I see his Apple Watch on the nightstand and I like literally pick it up and go to like silence it. And as it's in my hand, I get a text that says, "I miss you already."
Oh.
And it is the girl that he was literally on a date with. Like in that moment, he must have just been leaving the date and she like texts that to the phone. So like as I'm reading it, he is in transit back to the house, about to like come grab his bag and go fly, like go to the airport to fly out. And I'm trying to figure out what to do. So of course I see that and I like go through everything. I go read all the texts and my ass is like, this man calls me crazy. I will not be made to feel crazy about this. So I take my phone and I just start like, it's an Apple Watch, so you know the texts are tiny. I go through every text thread that has a woman's name on it, all of these names that I'm like, who in the literal hell? Like, I've never heard this name in my life. I've never heard it in passing. And I just start like, I mean, there's like hundreds of screenshots because I knew that he was gonna lie about it. And yeah, he doesn't answer the calls. Like, I'm taking these pictures, literally like calling him at the same time. I'm calling him and he isn't answering. And I'm like, that's just really bizarre. So he finally calls back and he's like, "What's up? What's going on? Why are you calling so intensely?" And I was like, where were you? Like, where are you right now?" And he basically just lies about it like during the whole phone call. Finally pulls up to the house and we're still on the phone as he's lying to me and he won't come in the house because he just like knows that I know something. I have to go outside and he won't get out of the car. So I'm like in our driveway screaming, probably sound like an insane person because that's how I felt. And like, I know neighbors are listening, et cetera. And he finally gets out of the car and he's like, "You need to get in the house." I don't know what you think I need to do, but you need to tell me the truth. Basically lies about it for a few more hours until I like quite literally hold up the phone and give him a name of like exactly the names on the text. So I gathered up what I could of my things, like most of the things that I had there, which was crazy that like there were so many things hidden given the women that were in the house. And I left that night and never saw the house again.
Wow. Okay, so you said that you found out a bunch of stuff after the relationship ended that made that all make a lot more sense. What did you find out after?
So I found out after about women throughout pretty much every part of the relationship. So what I thought I had found out was that what it seemed like originally in the phone is that during one of our last big bad breakups, he had gotten back on Hinge, met some women that he had liked, and when we came back together, he had a hard time like putting those things down. That's kind of what it looked like. They all felt really recent and associated to like a really bad breakup. I was disgusted and like had no plans on getting back with this man. But as I was telling the story to the internet on TikTok, I'm operating with this like empathy that things were really bad and he made really bad choices. And I hated him for it and I had no plans on being back with him. But like that gave me a little bit of solace. What I ended up finding out after posting the things to TikTok and these other women came forward were that it kind of just was the thread that was woven throughout the moment that I met him through the rest of the relationship. So one of my now best friends was the big love story of the summer of my original love story. So I come to find out that he dated her in overlap throughout all of my summer drama with him. And he had told her that she was the one, told her that he was ready to commit to her, told her that he was going to pick her up from a flight at the airport. Ghosted, didn't do that. And like in the next days, she sees him posting me on his stories. Like I just came to realize that I thought it was me experiencing these things. And it was like all of us experienced these things. Nobody was the center star. Like I might have been the one living in the home, but nobody was getting a lack of promises or like what you would imagine out of somebody that genuinely wanted to like date you or spend their life with you. And then other people's pieces just came together. So there was a girl, for example, early on that had randomly left coffee and a book about a narcissist on his doorstep. And he was like, she's just a friend. We've only slept together once. She's crazy. She's on drugs. She's on pills. Her hands literally shake. And I don't know why she would do this. So, like, in hindsight, when I think about that, I'm like, I'm sure you were telling her all the same things that you told me. And she's wrecked. And I'm in the house, right? Like, endless amounts of those stories throughout just like every portion. So, it really just shadowed what I thought was, at least in some part, a healthy. Not ever like fully healthy, but semblance of like committed and monogamous relationship for at minimum like 6 months of that relationship, like nothing, like no part of it was monogamous. And the worst part of that was honestly what it felt like in my body was just knowing health-wise how many other people technically like had access to my body at the same time because of how many people he was continually with. So like those things along with just like massive distrust, I've all just processed and deconstructed since the Amber Alert.
It's almost like he's in his own little episode of The Bachelor and he's just choosing one of you at the end. And then I'm almost wondering if you've ever had a conversation with her about like why she didn't tell you that you guys were dating him at the same time.
Yeah, we have had that conversation. I try to tell people to be on their best behavior when dating because she should have probably said something. I think she was dealing with a lot of her own like pain and insecurity around it. And so in hindsight, she's like, yeah, I could have said something then. But what she told me was that she didn't understand the intricacies of our relationship. Like, she didn't have the context. So, for all she knew, we were getting told very different stories. So, maybe I knew and like chose to be on that ride. And then one day he chose to commit to me. I don't know. I think we all convince ourselves of like a lot of what ifs. And also, women are the first ones to try to like not harm other women. We operate with so much empathy and so much thought in behaviors and actions. And I think she just, like, same with me. When I found those women in the watch, I notified one of them and she still made a choice to be with him. There was so much awareness around this even before like the Amber Alert because we actually share the same hair salon. And so when I started dating him, she had been telling the story about this man to our shared hair salon stylists. And Our stylist actually was the center point of like knowing how crappy he was. And so when it all went down, I actually formed an additional bond and friendship with my hairstylist, who's now one of my best friends, because it was just like the awareness of this monster was so pervasive and so ironic, just like the gall to do this in such a small community, you know?
Oh my God, yeah. Well, and also it puts, I mean, like you said, the women in such a tough situation where it's like you're not really sure what the right thing to do is. Like, is the right thing to say something, or are you going to be really upset by this? Are you in on the joke? Am I the one that got played? And for your hairstylist, like, she doesn't want to mess up like any of her clientele, like, doesn't want to like do something
Yeah.
unprofessional and like shit on your boyfriend who you love and then lose a client. So it's just this tough situation for everybody. But man, I mean, geez, for a guy to get away with it for a year and a half is honestly, like, I don't want to say it's impressive, but it's kind of impressive, the time and effort that went into juggling all these relationships.
Yeah, it's impressive and it's exhausting. I think all of us, the conversation I keep having is, why would anyone want to spend this much energy on anything? I mean, it's so much work to properly support one relationship. And obviously, he was not invested solely in one enough to be a good partner to anyone. But like, I don't know what that genuinely could bring someone. Like the value of having so many disparate relationships that aren't entirely fulfilling in any one way, other than a lot of like distraction from internal problems. And something that we had talked about when I thought I was in like a semblance of a normal relationship was how he felt very empty and sad, and would acknowledge that and say that he didn't know himself, didn't understand himself, and like had a lot of actual work to do. And so that awareness, even with me not knowing about the women, that awareness was so like compelling to me. And I think something I've learned about NPD or a narcissist or whatever we want to call them, obviously I can't diagnose this man, but I can say I think we see like behaviors of that personality type, is that they will like to your face tell you something very shocking in order to basically make you feel like you're gonna get told everything. So it's like, hey, I'm like, I really struggle in this arena. I'm empty, like I'm self-loathing, whatever. And it's like, oh my gosh, you're so self-aware. Thank you for telling me. Now I feel so connected to you. And you do feel connected to that person when in the back end, it's like all of the hidden behaviors that are actually harming you, just like running because you feel like you've built this false sense of trust. And so, unfortunately, you could get that same experience from someone that's very healthy and just being very self-aware and honest with you. And that's where I've done so much work in therapy to be like, how am I gonna know what a good person feels like? Like, how does any woman, man, whoever operate with trust again after basically having their world shattered because of lies. I mean, and good ones at that, to the point of like, how could one do this? But you know what? I think we all focus our energy in different regards, and like, you're hustling in your career, and some of us are hustling in other ways, and like, that's how we spend our energy. So.
Well, what has that healing journey looked like for you? Because I mean, I think you bring up a very valid point that, when you feel really safe with someone and then that person shows you that they were actually not safe at all, you start to question your own intuition. So, how have you been handling that?
Any breakup is a full grieving process, and something that I think I'm just now truly at the tail end of, which is really fortunate for the fact of my new relationship. Like, I'm really glad that I'm in the timeline that I am to be able to enter into something new. But in the first like 2 months, I think I was a manic certifiable crazy person, in the sense that like I don't remember it. I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping. I, in hindsight, think the intellectual version is like, be big sad, like give yourself time to feel those emotions. And I was being big sad, but like my friends were worried about me. My friends were like, have you eaten food today? So I was not okay. And also, I was dealing with like a nervous system reset, full stop. So just living in a house that makes you feel so unsafe, emotionally, physically, whatever it is, like your nervous system is shot, your cortisol levels are shot. And then having to process like your upside down world is so, like really hard on your body. And that's something I think I had to learn. So I did that, but also like going through the whole, how am I going to fill my time? Being in a toxic relationship is such a time suck. So I had all this time available now, which I really did my best to try to throw into my friends in those first couple of months. I think what I've learned and what I didn't want to do is throw myself into men or like another romantic relationship because I had just seen what that feels like on the other end. So I really didn't want to be a crazy person trying to distract myself with other people. And I did not go on a first date for 3 months after the breakup because I was like convinced that 3 months felt like long enough. But I think that's very early on in the actual grieving process from like a really bad breakup, if I think about it in hindsight. And I entered into therapy at like the 2.5 mark. Probably should have done it sooner. My advice to anybody would like go to therapy, please be in therapy immediately. But I didn't feel like I even had the brain capacity to have thoughtful conversations with the therapist at the time. So I took some time. And when I got there, what I expressed to my therapist was, I will end up dating again. My biggest fear is, yeah, one, how do I spot a person like this? Like, how do I make sure this never happens to me again? Because I don't trust myself, which is really sad. But then secondly, how do I make sure that I don't absorb any of those behaviors? Because I had seen myself become the worst version of myself in this relationship. Like my response, we're not to blame for our responses fully to someone that puts us in really bad situations, but I've also think I got accustomed to like the games. And I just didn't want to play that with anybody that I really wanted to have a real relationship with. So I was like, how do I make sure this doesn't impact me and my future partner for the rest of my life? And then therapy revealed all of these things that I wasn't expecting about myself, which I think is the best part about therapy, and was really helpful in understanding like how I had ended up with a narcissist, et cetera. So I did therapy for quite some time, and then I started dating and talking to the internet about it, which I think is its own version of like healing, which I think we all have different opinions about, but I will say I was very open and honest with everyone that I went out with. And most of the good men were really incredible about saying, like, honestly, you do you, girl. And maybe like these first dates are to help you understand what it's like to interact with like normal men again. And so, yeah, just like surrounding myself with people that I felt like were so opposite of that energy was very decompressing. And then I just traveled a ton and started to feel like myself again and threw myself into work. So I think it was like big sad, big therapy, honestly, probably a lot of distraction in the sense of like travel and making sure that I wasn't distracting myself with just another human. And literally a year later, met my now boyfriend, which I felt like, you know, a year was the appropriate time to like grieve and process and to like not care anymore. So like I in grieving, like you're sad, you're mad, you're vengeful, you're whatever it might be. Like I went through all those feelings and got to the point finally, like probably over the summer, where I was like, people keep telling me new nuggets of information. And I just got to the point where I was like, honestly, that doesn't change anything and I don't care. And if I never hear that man's name again, it'll be too soon, which I think is where you start to feel like it feels more like historical fact and like watching a movie of my life than that this is happening to me.
You said something interesting about your therapy journey where you said you discovered a lot of things about yourself. What did you learn in therapy that helped you heal from the breakup?
Two things that were really real that I think I would like love to share with people because it is just mind-blowing. My therapist asked me how she thinks I put up with so much, which is what everybody loves to ask me, like, wow, those were horrible things that you saw from day one. Like, how did you put up with it? And outside of the chemical attachment that we talk about, my therapist said, okay, well, I think there are two scenarios here. Either you've never experienced a person like this before, meaning you like were not inoculated at all. Like you had no defense or protection because it was all net new in the form of like manipulation and lies, or you have been very exposed to this personality type and it almost felt like home to you. Like it felt like the thing that finally made sense. And so I had to go through the process of like, is there somebody in my family or my life that like set me up for wanting this and thinking that this is love? And figuring that out and then identifying and honestly processing a completely separate problem that had nothing to do with this relationship. And really putting the onus back on myself because I think like we accept the behavior that we think we deserve. And while it's like his actions are not my fault or my problem, I still do own power in what I surround myself with and what I put up with. And so being able to identify that and see it much differently and put up those lines of defense to feel like disgusted by that behavior moving forward rather than like excited or interested by a little bit of toxicity was really important. And then I also think I learned that because I entered into it with the way that I did, I was not vulnerable. I came into it thinking I could control the situation. I came into it thinking about me in the sense of like, I want this, I can manage this. I thought I could tame a human. And what I really put into place in dating and now meeting my now person is that it, finding real love is about being basically like guts on the table, like vulnerable and your true authentic self. And that means you can't play like a strategic game, unfortunately. Like that protects you, great, but it also is going to keep you from like that dynamic that feels so raw and authentic and allow somebody to like love the true version of yourself and then build something that isn't infatuation. It's like true human connection and partnership. So when I started dating my now boyfriend, I was like, I am just gonna like drop every mechanism that I would to mask like the worst version of myself, my flaws. I'm not gonna try to like make him like me. I'm just gonna like be me and hope he signs up for me. And that has, it's honestly never felt better because I feel so safe knowing that like I've been able to be my true self and I don't spend any energy on thinking that like I have to keep a game of chess up to like make sure a person loves me, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Talk to me about this new relationship because I just saw that you hard launched him and I was like, oh, she found love.
It's so funny too because we like I felt like I had hard launched him so long ago because he put something up and I just forget that the internet like when we feel like everybody sees something it's just not true at all. Yeah, so we it hasn't been that long, but it's been so different. So I did 3 weeks in France and that I did that in September and I told myself that that was my like last hurrah. Like I could feel it in my gut. I was like, I'm gonna go have hot girl Euro summer. It's gonna be cuffing season. I feel like I've done this year of healing. And then I was like, I'm ready for something if something's ready for me. So I come back from France and it's my first day back and I go on a date with this man and I wasn't like convinced from the moment he walked in the room or anything. I thought he was cute. I thought maybe he was like a little bit of like an F boy. He is like semi-retired NASCAR driver and in the world of like race car drivers. First of all, I have no exposure to this world. I had never watched a race in my life before dating him. So I didn't even know what I was getting into. It felt like the high potential to be an F boy situation. And when he walks in, like he just has that swagger, like he's very cool. So I was not that interested at all. And at the end of the night, he drove me home and like we kissed, and I was like, uh-oh. And my first gut instinct was like, is this a repeat of the big bad chemical? Like, do I need to be scared? And so I put the onus on me. I was like, I am going to like be my true vulnerable self. It will be on me to operate entirely different in this situation, and it'll work itself out because of that. And so, pretty much within the first couple of dates, I felt this just like deep, deep sense of safety and like peace, knowing that I was across from just a really good human. So, everything that I thought was F boy actually is just probably what people like would think about me, like, oh, you like talk about dating on the internet or whatever it is. I was like, this like race car driver thing is not a concern. Sorry to any race car drivers out there. I'm sure you're lovely. He has a big boy job. He is so kind, so good to the people that he loves. He's a dog person, which is just like very important to me. You know, we love it. And he's been out of a relationship for a very long time, and he's been in therapy for like almost his entire life. We're just swimming in good vibes here. And I don't want to compare him by any means, but like, I think it is a process when you are in like a dynamically different situation to be like, this is what home feels like. This is what safety feels like. This is what health feels like. So we're just super happy and moving forward with gusto, but you know, in an appropriate way. And I like couldn't speak more highly of him.
Oh my God, that's beautiful. Well, I'm glad it's working out. And I think to an extent, like the comparison can honestly be a good thing because I think every time you compare him and you admire him more when you think about your past relationship, I think it's just further evidence over time, which I think is important when you're building trust, that he's not the same type of person, even though like you were kind of getting those vibes at first. Cause like I can totally see you sitting there at some like chic bar and like this guy walks in like full frat boy attire. And it's kind of like, oh God, is this the same, gonna be like the same shit, different day? But he's proving to you that he's not.
That's exactly right. And I don't think there's anything that one could want for more than like having that intensity around an attraction, but also just like values alignment and how we treat other people, like everything just really coming to the table, which what I tell him, I'm like, I'm unfortunately really glad that this happened to me because I think I had to go through that to value my now boyfriend in the way that I do. That's the silver lining, I suppose.
Well, one final thing, it makes me so sad for the women and the men out there who have to deal with these types of people. So if there's somebody that has like those gut feelings and maybe they resonate with the story that you told about your ex-boyfriend, like what's something that you would tell them if they're in that relationship and they're struggling with even wanting to leave?
It helps me, but it actually helps my friends. And I've dealt with so many back and forth DMs of, yeah, girls in these situations. And one thing that I always say, and you said in the beginning, is thinking about it in a sense that like takes the hot intensity of the emotion out of it. When you think like, okay, this is how our brain literally works. And if you do X, it's going to create Y. When I started thinking about it scientifically, like an addiction, it helped me so much. And it also made me feel less hard on myself because I was like, okay, people are addicted to cigarettes, people are addicted to drugs. Like, this happens all the time. And like, this was your vice. And honestly, it's almost endearing that like you're the type of person that would be like addicted to love because that's what we're all here for as humans is love. And it's not on us to like make sure that somebody's not doing it with ill intent, right? But the addiction piece really did help me translate and it helps you heal from it. So, like, replacing with other dopamine stimulants, like going to see your friends or like doing something good or going to work out, it quite literally helps you heal faster and create those different brain connections and patterns that make us feel whole again. And then the last thing is like redirection is protection. I hate to think that had this not happened, I would be married to that situation. But at the time, I was so desperate to hold on to it and like it felt like the center of my world. And so sometimes like we have these gut instincts or it feels like I'm so uncomfortable, I have to make a change and we're not strong enough. And like if the universe has literally wrapped its arms around you and redirected you, be so incredibly thankful and just like know that it's because you have something so much better for you. And like a closed door is, in my opinion, always an opportunity.
On Thursday, of course, we have another breakdown bonus episode, and we are going to talk about narcissism, which is not a new topic for the podcast, but after doing so many episodes and talking to so many experts about narcissism and serial cheating in relationships, I feel like I might as well have a low-key PhD in the subject. So on Thursday, it's just going to be an episode with me talking about what I feel like I have learned from hearing from so many people who have experienced narcissists, and also everything that I've learned from experts with how to deal with them and how to heal from a relationship where you were exposed to that kind of behavior. So you could say it's basically going to be a crash course in what to do if you are dealing with a narcissist. It's basically my narcissism thesis. Otherwise, I will see you whenever you decide to tune in next.